don't fear me, because I know what I want. Please deliver me, that's all part of your soul. It makes you freeze time, staring in at yourself. It's time to step outside onto the path you once made.
Did you know much about that character beforehand?
I delve a little into it comic-wise, probably because Francis and I went through a pretty decent Marvel phase, because when DC started disappointing us a lot, I believe I mentioned it in the last podcast. We're like, oh, let's go dabble in Marvel a little. There's Avengers versus X-Men nonsense is going on, but let's go play around in that field for a while. And Doctor Strange was one of the ones he went, you need to look at this. This is the one you'll like, because I like it. And lo and behold, I love that asshole, so.
Was it around when Oath came out? Or is it like the series Oath? Doctor Strange Oath? Have you ever read that?
No, I haven't.
It's actually really good. Is it the guy that did Why the Last Man and stuff? I think
okay.
Wrote it. It's really good, dude.
Because I know at one point he was torrenting like all the old issues from like the 70s, and he's like, you need to read these, and I'm like, the art's kind of weird. I'll get to it later. I still haven't, but oh well. I wasn't completely blind going in, but I was a bit more underinformed than most nerds.
Yeah, I knew quite a bit about him, but not him out, because Doctor Strange used to always pop up in books every so often and stuff. There's a really good X-Men story. It was the first time I ever read Doctor Strange, anything with him in it, where it's like an alternate universe, and it almost makes the X-Men and the Avengers like Dungeons and Dragons in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really weird. I think it's like the original run's like from 92 or something like that. But, it's like they crucify Spider-Man in the book, and like, it's really weird, but it's a really good story.
Wait, when was this again?
It's when I was young, so it's like mid 80s or something like that, I think. But it was like there's an alternate dimension.
Oh, it was like
stuff.
It was like 1700 something or other. It was just, it was a full AU where it was like back in.
No, what happened was like there was this old Conan villain, and I can't remember his name, but he alters the Marvel Universe or something like that, and it turns everything into like kind of a Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, okay.
Look to it.
So it's
like
not
Captain America is like a knight or something like that, but it's like there's one point where Spider-Man's the only connection to the regular universe, and they
okay.
have him like crucified it.
Now, the one I'm thinking
like
of,
that.
I think it's like a full-on alternate universe. You know, where they're just like, oh, one universe to add to the bajillions we have. Confusing numbers. Enjoy.
And then they all ended up in the, what was it, Secret Wars thing they did recently? Where they had all the, have you seen any of those? Like,
I try to stay away. All I know is at one point there were Skrulls and things were weird. I don't know if that's the new, that's probably not the new Secret Wars. That was the old Secret Wars. It's confusing.
Yeah. But back to Doctor Strange, like, going into that movie, like, I knew a little bit of it. Mara had never read any Doctor Strange and stuff like that, so I was thinking, like, I didn't know if it was going to be good or not, but I loved it. I liked it a lot.
I had some reservations on it because I'm like, oh, Benedict Cumberbatch is good, but he's really overcast at this point. I'm not going to like it. And then I know Francis was considering full-on boycotting it because they're like, oh, well, because we get so much money out of China, we can't really do much portraying the Ancient One as a Tibetan character because China will be mad at us, herder. So we're going to change it to a white lady.
Yeah.
And he was really kind of miffed about that. And then I went and saw the movie and went, just put that aside.
Yeah.
It's really good. And
yeah, you can be upset about stuff like that and still like, yeah, it's problematic, but
everything. Yeah. That word has been overused,
yeah.
But it is problematic. But the movie was so good.
And I think with her character, almost in a way, I think they were trying to do something, but they didn't do it for enough. Like,
mm-hmm.
They were like, oh, we're going to cast a female character that's using a male character, but then they were like, oh, but we're not going to cast it as an Asian character. So it's
mm-hmm.
like, you did a half measure towards what you should have done in to begin with and stuff, but yeah, she's really good in it, though. Like,
yeah, I enjoyed, you know, her portrayal. You know, she did an excellent job.
Yeah. You just hope in the future they do better with stuff like
just, step up, guys.
Yeah.
Step up. I was really impressed in the fact that I was waiting for another, you know, really, you know, forced, shitty, you know, romance, because whenever they do them in the Marvel movies, there's so many of them where it's just the, well, here is your token female. Even if you have stress at one point, you're going to reconcile and everything is going to be love and sunshine, and they didn't. They didn't
yeah.
really reconcile, and I was very proud of Marvel for that. They played it really realistically. And they both went their separate ways, and they're probably both, for, you know, all the better for it.
Yeah, I like that part, too. I like the fact that they're not really together.
Mm-hmm.
They just, like, basically said they slept together before and stuff
like that.
Yeah,
they were a thing at one point.
Yeah, and, like, I like the fact that I was always expecting her to be there at the end. You know, to be, like, get rescued by him or something.
Yeah,
like
I
was. And it didn't happen. I loved that.
And instead, she, you know, saved his ass, and I'm like, Marvel, you surprised me.
Yeah, I like that.
It passes the
of it.
Sexy lamp test.
Yeah. It was kind of surprising when I came out of it thinking, like, oh, she's a big actress, and she's really not in it much, if you think about it that much. But, like, I liked what she did with the character, though, and stuff like that. I loved the ending, actually. I know a lot of people didn't like the ending, but I actually liked it.
It was anticlimactic, but it worked really, really well, considering what they'd built up to. And just, you know, little hints of, well, this is how this works, and this is how this works. And then it all just kind of clicked in his head, and he went, wait a minute, I found the loophole.
Yeah, I've told people this. I believe it was one of the most comic book movies, like, more like the comics than any
mm-hmm.
of the others, because of that type of ending. Because of the way it's, like, yeah, it's a little bit convoluted in some ways, but that's a very comic book ending, I thought, to it. So, and that's what reminded me. I told somebody, I was like, that seems like a Doctor Who ending to me.
But just, it was, with all, you know, these big, tough, heavy hitters, it was nice to see someone just running on sheer, you know, resilience and brain the entire time. Just, yeah, he learns to fight, you know, that's great. He's still having problems, you know, with the finesse of everything, but he didn't need, you know, the, you know, super duper, you know, punchy power.
Yeah, I was afraid it was gonna be basically him doing like blasts from his hands or something like that, but I liked the way they did the visuals.
Oh,
the stuff.
Yeah, everything. Oh,
it kept reminding me of
it was eye porn, man.
Of like Full Metal Alchemist in a way,
mm-hmm.
like just the runestone
yeah.
type thing. It was kind of reminding me of that in some way. Which I think, like, if they ever did, well, I don't know if they did a live-action Full Metal.
There's and a new, there's one coming up, actually.
I'd be interested to see how they would do stuff like that with that character and stuff.
Which is, I thought it was really interesting when, as information's coming out, and I'm like, yeah, you know, you have all these Asian stories and you want to cast Asian actors, like, I'm still really disappointed that they cast Scarlett Johansson in, phone, I didn't ask you, in, Ghost in the Shell,
yeah.
And I mean the creators are behind it, but I'm like, it still feels like a cop out. Your feelings, but Full Metal Alchemist is a story that's basically set in alternative Germany,
yeah, it is.
And so I'm expecting, for once, I'm expecting a bunch of white people.
Somebody told me about Ghost in the Shell. They tried to say that Ghost in the Shell is actually set in the U.S. And I'm like,
no.
I never got that from it. I think it's supposed to be Japan, isn't it? Like, where it is?
I know, at least, you know, for the TV series, it's all Japan. I
yeah.
saw the first movie a long time ago, and
I think
that
the
was
U.S.
Japan
is mentioned
too.
In it, or something like that, but I don't think it's there.
At least the core of the media does not
yeah.
take place in it.
And like you said, Full Metal, which actually is German, right?
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, every time I interview set somebody to get to the part where it starts talking about Fuhrer's stuff in it, and you're like, what is this? And I'm like, yeah, it's alternative Germany.
It's Germany with magic. Magic Germany.
Yeah. But, yeah, I like to see it. I've seen a, was it Full Metal musical, or was it, no, it was a Bleach musical. I've seen, like, the stuff from.
The anime musicals hurt my brain. Okay, so. This feels like a fever dream, but back in high school, one of the megacons I went to, I wound up getting most of Revolutionary Girl in Utena fan-subbed on VHS. And at the very end of the series, after the episode ends, the static drags on for a while, and then it opens up into the musical. The live-action musical. And it was somewhere between amusing and kind of terrifying. I think they subtitled it, but I just kind of sat there going, really? And I'm watching the student council, you know, sing in these sultry tones with these weird hip motions, and I'm going, I feel like I've stumbled upon something I shouldn't have seen, like I'm gonna get a call, you know, telling me 7 days.
It's like, when we seen the Bleach one, like, they look really cool, like, mm-hmm. the people in the suits and stuff, but it is weird.
The costuming was great, it's weird, though.
I think I've seen, like, a Naruto one, too, like, where they did a musical version of it or something like that.
Why? Not everything needs a musical.
Yeah, but, like, what was I saying before? But the Doctor Strange visuals I thought were really good. And I know we talked before we started this podcast. Yeah, people were comparing it to, like, Inception. But I don't. I think they actually did it better in this. Because I like the fact that, like, the puzzle or clockwork nature of it, mm-hmm. it makes it seem more solid. It's not just something becoming, like, jello and falling over or something like that. I just love that.
It was ice noises. Stop, please. Stop ice. No. Okay, it's done. Yeah, when Inception came out, though, those were neat visuals. I really did like the ones where people were, like, falling over in slow motion. And that was always fun to watch. But, no, it was just complete eye porn in this and everything. I think the only time I flinched was when, you know, his fingers were growing hands, and that just, that went a little too far into, like, body horror for me, and I'm like, that's weird to look at, I need to stop.
I was laughing because, I don't know if you ever watched the show Steven Universe,
mm-hmm.
but there's one where he gets, like, cats on his fingers.
Yes,
and they was reminding me of that one when he does that.
I have a drawing I need to show you later. I took advantage of that concept.
Oh.
Though, breaking away from the cat fingers.
Yeah, I'll have to remind you to show it to me.
I'll give you a link. You can show the world it's hideous. I have it on shirts. I knew Mads Mikkelsen was going to be in this, and I'm like, oh, okay. Well, where is he? Bam, he's right there in the opening, and okay, well, that's well and good, you know? Hello, Mads, what are you doing? And then you get to the point where him and his little followers are doing their little, you know, let's tap into the dark cosmic Wi-Fi ritual and get our ooky spooky powers, and the crackle effect they had on his skin was absolutely just, it was really cool to look at, but the purple glitter was a bit much. I mean, I know what it was for because Dormammu was all spacey and purpley and really neat, and it was a good tie-in, except he looked like he'd been, like, glitter-bombed, and I couldn't take him seriously for the rest of the film.
I liked it until they did, like, one close-up of it. Because I think it's supposed to be kind of like burnt almost, is what they were going for, or like some kind of.
I thought it was just crackling away to show the inner nature of what they tapped into, which was ooky spooky Dormammu powers.
But then they did a close up and you seen it like glittering. That's kind of weird. But then Dormammu looks different in it, which I didn't mind the way he looked. But, like, I know a lot of people are like, well, he's supposed to be all fiery and stuff like that.
As someone who has no idea what classic Dormammu looks like, I really enjoyed the graphics in this.
He's basically just fire, kind of, like stuff. But I liked the way they did it and stuff. I thought it looked neat.
He was so, just the weird motions and things expanding constantly.
Yeah.
It was really organic looking still. That was just.
It almost reminded me of that, that one Marvel character is supposed to be the universe. I think he's called Eternity or something like that. Have you ever seen him? He's like, everything, he's like, if you look at his body, it's like...
Oh, he's all like the stars and sparkles and stuff?
It kind of looks like him in some ways to me and stuff, but I don't know. But I enjoyed, like, the changes for it didn't bother me that much because I thought it was really good. Plus, like, I know with the bad guy, what's his name, that you was just talking about?
Mads.
Yeah. I know, I was a little disappointed that his character wasn't bigger in it, because it was kind of a generic villain, but,
Because isn't his character supposed to be, Mordo's little lackey?
I think so.
I actually just found that out today.
But I was talking to a friend of mine, I was like, because Dormammu kind of looked more human in the books in a lot of ways. I was like, maybe in, like, if they do a sequel, they'll make him more, have his him play that character as, like, in human form or something like that. Because it is pretty big that they got such a good actor and he basically plays kind of a generic bad guy in some ways.
Mordo. I loved the guy who played Mordo. I loved Wong. I loved everything. I loved all of the awful pop culture references.
Yeah.
Adele. Eminem.
There's a lot of them. I love the fact that Doctor Strange is still a jerk. At the end of it, he's not a nice guy.
He's not a complete ass bag as before, but he's definitely not a sweet man.
It's like, I've always found it funny when people go after Tony Stark's character and they're like, well, he's being a jerk. Yeah, that's what that character is.
Tony is an alcoholic with PTSD and he needs lots of therapy, a hug, and a break.
Yeah. He's never been a nice guy in the books or anything.
He's still an ass bag, but Tony needs a lot of help. Steven just needs to be smacked around and...
Oh, yeah.
Like, the scene where he's sitting outside, you know, basically crying to be let in, and I'm just like, yes, your hubris was your downfall. Learn some humility.
But, yeah, I really enjoyed the movie and stuff like that. And I was glad they didn't go too big on it in some ways. Like I said, I liked the way they handled the magic effects and stuff. Like,
yeah, they could have really gone over the top with that, but they kept it pretty constrained, and it worked really well.
Have you seen the old 70s Doctor Strange TV movie?
No, but now I kind of don't want to.
Yeah, find it online. It's so corny and campy. And
I like campy, but I'm afraid.
It's bad. Oh, speaking of, for some reason it's triggering my mind when I was talking about this storyline where Spider-Man gets crucified. Mm-hmm. If you ever find it, there's an Indian, like, of the country India, Spider-Man. That actually shows an image of him being crucified. It's one of those not licensed things that they do in a lot of other countries, but it's really good. Like, it's really weird, but that 70s Doctor Strange is just out there and stuff.
That's what Francis was telling me, and I'm like, not yet. The problem is my attention span will only allow for so much stuff to go on at any given time. So if I put myself across too many different, you know, mediums or too many different titles, I can't hold my attention span and I just kind of combust, so...
I think that's why I don't remember stuff. Like, I can rewatch stuff over and over again because, like, I read so much and watch so much TV and movies and stuff that I don't retain it afterwards and stuff.
Yeah, I like, immerse myself and I don't want to touch anything else. No, baby, I'm doing this right now. I'm doing this thing. Let me finish it. It may take me 3 years, but hold on.
I just hope, like Mordo at the end, like, him becoming a bad guy at the end of that, like, I hope he appears in other stuff.
Oh,
like,
he's gone.
That would be cool.
He had that scene at the end, you know, he's gonna come back.
Yeah, like, have you been following any of the Netflix shows?
No, yeah. I'm a terrible person, and no, I haven't.
Because, like, I think they're good. They're pretty good.
I've heard excellent things. I just don't like watching things alone, and generally my roommates and I have three very, very different schedules, so
yeah.
I wind up watching nothing, and it's depressing. So everyone online can shame me because I've never seen an episode of Luke Cage, and just because of the subject matter that it entails, I'm probably never going to watch Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones in hand.
Wiki.
It's really good, and I'm glad they went there, but it is intense. They didn't hold back.
Yeah, and I'm glad they did, because there's some things that, you know, dialogues that need to be brought out, but there's some content in there that I do not want myself, you know, re-exposed to.
It's just, like, intense book. Had you read the book? The book of her, that's really a good book. But then too.
We dabbled in Marvel. Dabbled is the key word.
Severely I'm surprised you even dabbled, considering you said you went during the Avengers versus X-Men storyline, which is just one big mess.
It was a giant mess. I'm like, well, y'all fine, just stop. Just kiss and make up, just shut up.
But yeah, that was pretty good.
Phoenix.
But I have a friend that don't even. She hasn't watched any of the Netflix shows and stuff.
I'm not alone.
I don't think you. You really don't have to. You can watch the movies without ever watching them.
I'd really like to watch Luke Cage, and now Danny Rand is coming out.
I was asking about those because there were rumors that Doctor Strange and Iron Fist are tied together in plays. Because he Iron Fist goes to a mystical place.
They were two completely different mystical places.
They are.
Yeah, it's Kun Loon. That's Iron Fist.
Yeah, they're linked, I guess. And, like, astral
maybe it's
magic
like
stuff.
A magical sister city.
Because there was rumors for a while that Iron Fist was going to first appear in the Doctor Strange movie there for a while or something like that. Because they're exploring the magic and all their stuff now. Because, like, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Just send Danny straight to Luke, and, you know, we'll have Jessica and Misty, and they'll go defend things, and Steven will pop up in Thor Ragnarok, you know, while Thor's busy, you know, like, buddy road tripping it around with Hulk, and everybody will have a great time.
Yeah, it's a lot to keep up with now, like, especially if you jump in late, just start with all the Marvel cinematic stuff, and a lot of stuff to get through.
I think I'm only the only movies right now I'm missing are Iron Man 3 and Age of Ultron, but I was told you could skip Age of Ultron because apparently it wasn't that good.
It really wasn't. I mean, it's a nice, like, just mindless movie if you want to see it, but it really wasn't. The first part of it, I think, is really good,
mm-hmm.
but once you get into the action superhero stuff, it gets really stupid.
It
doesn't work.
I'm really hoping with the new Ant-Man they're planning, I know they've got Hank's daughter going to be the new Wasp, but I kind of hope they did what they did in the comics where they're like, oh, the original Wasp disappeared, oh no, and then she's like, no, I'm here, I was just really, really tiny, hi everybody, and then she comes back. I'd like the whole team to be together.
I like the idea they had for a while was like that, Michael Douglas' Ant-Man was actually in all the other ones. He just didn't see
it. He's angry. He's pissing into Tony's coffee.
Yeah, but,
The screen is going black.
Yeah. But,
Can I just touch that every time it does that?
Yeah.
Okay.
For some reason, you can't redo the screensaver on it to where it won't come up. Windows 10 screws with stuff. But, yeah, like, I have a friend that hasn't gotten into all this stuff yet, but she doesn't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or any of that yet. And you said you hadn't seen Iron Man 3?
No, I missed 3. I wanted to see it, but at the time nobody wanted to go see it with me, so...
It's alright. Like, I know a lot of people hate Iron Man 2, but I didn't hate it. I hated the ending of it because I thought it was basically just a throwaway ending of, oh, a guy gets all suits and they fight and stuff. But I didn't actually mind it that much. Then again, I don't hate, like, movies like some people do. Like, Suicide Squad, I didn't hate that movie.
I couldn't get anyone to watch that with me. All I want to do is see it because Captain Boomerang's in it, and everyone knows I've got an unfortunately big boner for the Flash's rogues.
I don't think, like, the Captain Boomerang in it's okay, but they try to make him, like, a really, really tough guy. You know what
all
I mean?
All he does is talk big.
Yeah, but, I didn't think it was as bad as some people thought it was going to be. I mean, some people said it was. I'm like, if you think about it, it was supposed to be like a throwaway action movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Deadpool did Big Time, they were like, oh, we're going to try to push it up to be something bigger.
Yeah, you can't make it better than Deadpool.
Plus, you got like, they were making this movie and they basically had 4 different versions they started doing. Like, originally it was supposed to be just a stupid action film.
Mm-hmm.
And not tied into the regular DC universe. then they said, oh, we're going to tie it in with one scene with Batman or something like that. And then the Joker was supposed to be in it, and then he wasn't. And this was all happening while they were making the movie. And you can't make a movie like that.
You know the exploding boomerang you see in all the promo pictures of him?
Oh, yeah.
I made one. It doesn't actually explode, obviously, but I made one.
I actually liked the actor that got to play him. I thought he did all right. And that was another character where people were like, he's a jerk. And I was like, yeah, he is a jerk. The character is a jerk.
Is a racist, misogynistic bag of dicks, but he is also my sweet trash baby, and I love him.
I had this discussion with somebody once about who are the worst of the rogues.
Define worst.
Like, truly a bad person. Like,
Evan McCulloch.
I don't think it would have to be Mirror Master.
Second
Captain,
Mirror Master.
Yeah, or Captain Boomerang. Because the others are just like...
Digger is nasty, but he's kind of a pushover.
Yeah.
At least, you know, in later continuity. If you're talking really early stuff, they were all kind of terrors.
I know around the time of, like, Blackest Night stuff, where they had him, didn't he kill Tim Drake's father or something like that?
He was looking for money, and someone hired him to go kill Tim's father, and at the same time, they left Tim Drake's dad means to defend himself, and they wound up killing each other, and it was sad. Spoiler for anyone who hasn't read it, I'm sorry, Identity Crisis is great, go read it, your heart will break.
But I think they tried to make him tougher around that time or something.
Yeah, in Identity Crisis, he was just kind of sad and lonely and fat then. But tried to get his life together.
Mirror Master is probably the worst one, I think.
No, he's a coke snorting douchebag.
Like, almost every incarnation you see of that character, he's like, even like No Justice League cartoon, he's not very nice at all when you see the character.
Sam Scudder was nice enough. He was kind of like the original team mom.
And also, what's his name's sister?
Lisa.
What's her name?
Golden Glider.
Yeah, she's not a very nice.
She's mean. She's mean. Oh, Lord, she's mean.
Yeah, I think. But I love the rogues. And yeah, I know you do, too.
Unfortunately, large boner.
I love them all so much. Except for the top. But, you know.
The top.
Roscoe Dillon, the top. That was Lisa's boyfriend. He and Lenny never got along. Well, Roscoe never really got along with anybody, but that's besides the point.
Do you like what appeared on The Flash so far?
I have only caught certain amounts of, the last time I went to visit Fran- No, it wasn't the last time I went to visit Francis, it was the time before. I think they were only midway into season 2 and he showed me the Rogue episodes, and they didn't have very many at that point, so I have missed a lot since then. But as it comes to my attention, apparently Zoom is a villain now, and that's really exciting because Hunter Zolomon is right up my alley, though I don't know what they did with his backstory this time. When they rebooted everything, I was so heartbroken because Hunter no longer existed.
Do you know how some of the time travel stuff in The Flash is convoluted and hard to understand? It's like that on the TV show, too.
Do they explain everything as vibrations?
Not really. Okay. Like, I do like the fact that The Flash is one of the few comic book characters that can time travel that actually learns lessons and does not do it.
That
it screws stuff up.
It screws
like,
everything
in the books and the show, it's like, oh, you shouldn't do this. You'll mess everything up if you do this. But yeah, I like, let's see. Well, Captain Cold is probably my favorite on the TV show of the rogues that's appeared so far. Mm-hmm. But I like that actor. It does feel really good.
Wentworth Miller.
Yeah, I think he's really good.
I caught some of him, and I was just happy they had, you know, a Heatwave and a Captain Cold in the same room.
They were the best part, I thought, of Heroes of Tomorrow, mm-hmm. or whatever it is, the TV show. Like, I watched the first season of that, and I thought they were the two best parts of that.
As I know, I think he's still buying episodes as they come out, you know, when he comes down after Christmas, I really need to sit down and be like, okay, get out of my way. We're going to put your Xbox down, and we're going to load your Amazon thing up, and I'm going to watch me some more Rogues, because I am severely underinformed in the TV series.
I would love to see a just a show with Captain Cove. And have him just with the rogues like a rogue show. That would be great. He could carry a show by himself.
I want all my babies back.
What's your favorite incarnation of him? Like animated show, the comics.
I don't like the animated simply for the way they wrote the Trickster, because they kind of made him a medicated version of Mark Hamill's live action version. Hamill's a good man. I didn't like his Trickster.
I think my problem with this Trickster was sometimes it was too jokery.
Yeah, that was
one of my problems with this Trickster. Like, I would love to have seen a young Mark Hamill play the Trickster.
He did in the original TV series.
No, I mean like even younger, like Star Wars era Mark Hamill play. Well, old Star Wars era Mark Hamill play.
He's still in Star Wars.
But I thought when they played him like on the old Flash show, mm-hmm. and on, of course, the new one too.
Some kind of weird Joker Hamill mix.
Yeah, it is. Like, I don't think it really works.
That was weird. Because in the final comic incarnation of Trickster, they decided, well, you've been friends with the Piper so long, we're going to throw in, you know, some homophobia, you know, for free. Out of nowhere. That was weird. But basically,
make his character like that?
Yeah, they made him a giant, because Piper is like the token gay of the rogues, so. And suddenly, you know, they weren't such best frenzies anymore, and that was
really
dumb.
Fit his character, I don't think as much. Like, I think if you made Mirror Master more of that, or even
Mirror Master is homophobic.
I know, but like, I think it fits him more, or even Captain Boomerang in a lot of ways. But I don't think it really fits him as much.
They threw it in at the last second and had never been part of his character until then. So basically, before Countdown, every Trickster in the comics was my favorite. Every single one.
God, Countdown, I remember that. Because I loved 52 so much, that miniseries. Mm-hmm. I loved those books so much. Because I thought they did a great job of that. And then Countdown was like... that was awful.
I did, however, enjoy that they gathered up most of the rogues, sent them to Salvation, and while all the other villains were shitting themselves over how to survive, the rogues are like, well, we're a well-oiled team, and we know exactly what we're doing, so get out of the way, we're going to do it.
Oh yeah, Salvation, Gil Simone, I think, wrote that, like, where they sent them to the other planet and stuff like that. Yeah, that's what led to, I think, Secret Six and stuff. Have you ever read that?
Secret Six has been around a lot longer.
But didn't it lead to the current one, like, after
probably
that?
I know she wrote a lot of Secret Six,
I think it led to the series that was after that. Which is, like, I'm surprised the rogues have never had their own book. The villain books can work if you get a good writer.
They get like an issue every now and then, but considering that they don't really want to take over the world, you know, you could literally write like a book that's 50% slice of life, 50%, you know, them knocking over jewelry stores and, you know, them trying to live together. They'd make the best sitcom ever.
Did you ever read that one Marvel book where it had like Spider-Man's villains? I forgot the name of it.
Dabbled is the key word. You know the answer to this.
But it basically took kind of like the lower level Spider-Man villains, put them in their own book, and they were kind of like the rogues in the fact that they weren't trying to kill people or take over the world and stuff like that.
They were just trying to get by.
I always thought that book was basically the rogues. Like somebody trying to write that book. I can't remember the name of it though, but I thought it was really good.
Because I know a lot of people have got qualms when Geoff Johns writes the rogues because, Captain Cold's his favorite. You know what? Guess what? I don't care. I like the way he writes them.
Well, also, like, you ever so often smell where I can flash and not put the rogues in it at all. And I was like, that doesn't work. Like, I've seen that ever so often. People will be like, nope, we're going to bring in Batman villains or Superman villains.
I mean, there's other, you know, Flash villains out there that aren't the rogues, and, you know, they can fill in the time between so you're not oversaturated by it, but you still got to come back to it.
Because the simple fact is, like, the rogues work with the Flash because of the fact that a super speedster really could be the most powerful, like, superhero. Because he could basically run people over. It's like a... The Boys comic by Garth Ennis, like a really adult superhero thing. He basically has a super speedster that just runs across the planet killing people like crazy. And that could happen, like a Flash could be right, take everybody out if he wanted to. That's why it works having him more of a blue collar character, I think.
I love them so much.
That's why I don't think it really works when you have him facing too many, like, serial killers type characters. I don't know, really.
Well, if you want someone, you know, serial killer, you throw Murmur in, and even then the Rogues kind of butt heads with him once because it's their city, damn it, and all they want to do is their stuff, and if you get in the way, get out of town.
Looks like with them, they've, like, the Reverse Flash and him, they've not gotten along with him at times either.
They didn't like Hunter at all. Hunter went crazy, and that was sad.
The very first Flash book I ever bought was the pre-crisis one, and it was the one where he went on trial for killing. The Reverse
that was
Flash.
That was Eobard.
Yeah.
That was the first one.
Yeah, I remember that book.
First with Air Bunnies.
Because I love the artwork in it, because they did the thing with Flash where it's always like him catching glass, all the pieces of glass. I just thought that was a cool visual with that character. So. And for some reason, I liked the visual of just a Flash. It was a different color costume. I just liked that. I thought it was cool.
Them's was the days.
I wonder why there had never been a Flash game.
Because
Flash game.
God hates us?
I don't know. That could be actually a pretty interesting game if you think about it.
Yeah.
Probably hard, though.
The Rogues.
Super fast.
The Rogues themselves would make an excellent fighting game. Add in the Speedsters. That's great. You have so many different Speedsters to choose from.
Yeah. It's like 30 of them. Well, pre-whatever crisis
you've
thing
got,
we went through here.
You've got Jay, Barry, Wally, Bart. You've got the little kids, Jay and Iris. You've got Jesse Quick. You've got Excess. And that's not even counting some of the others that, you know, came.
The future ones.
Or like that team that the Russians made.
I don't think I read that.
That was like in the 80s or early 90s, I think.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. There was like a blue team and then there was a red team and one of them defected to the States. It was...
And I think there's actually a...
It was a while ago.
A Flash-related character on Legion. Like Legion Superheroes, I think there is actually one.
What's their name?
I don't know.
God
damn it. I think it's a female character, if I ain't mistaken. Because I think she come back to the present or something like that.
Is her name Jenny?
Maybe.
Because if her name's Jenny, that's Excess. She's related to Bart.
Is it? Because Bart's from that era, ain't he?
Yeah, they're like super close related.
I love the original.
I think they're like cousins.
I love the original Impulse series. Like, I thought that was pretty
when
good.
He was, you know, cute and adorable and fun-loving, and then they're like, you know what? We're gonna beat you up, make you kind of grim dark. You're gonna get over it. You're gonna be happy again, and then we're gonna make your life miserable as the Flash, and then we're gonna kill you.
Basically, wasn't it like in one of the Teen Titans stories that basically had somebody take a shotgun to his knees?
Yeah, they messed up his leg so bad and they had to keep re-breaking it because his leg was healing so fast and everyone's, you know, kind of, you know, beating up on him because, you know, he's just the airhead of the group and he's like, how about y'all just eat a sack of dicks?
Yeah, that was weird because it was like, hey, it was an alright story and I think Jeff Jones actually wrote that.
I don't know.
I think it was like Teen Titans. Basically, he got his knees basically shot off. Then he got really serious and went to a library basically and read all
the
books. Yeah,
he read the entire library.
And all of a sudden he grew up. And then he was like the Reverse, and not the Reverse Flash, Kid Flash.
Yeah.
And then soon after that, he became the Flash, and then he
and
died.
They killed him.
It was like really quick.
And then all
the
Rogues panicked because, what do you mean? That's just a kid. Oh God, we killed him. And then they get shipped to the prison planet.
Yeah.
Or alternatively, get handcuffed together, go on the lam, and then one of them gets shot, and the other has to tote the other's corpse around for ages. It's great.
That was like those stories at the time was like a quick rush to Blackest Night and everything like that. It seemed like they were like, oh, we're going to be serious, everybody's dying there. And then it went to that. And then like, Brightest Day. Like, I was liking those books leading up to all that stuff. And then Brightest Day, and then like, they were supposed to build some more stuff there. And then all of a sudden, Flashpoint happened. Which was... I hated most of Flashpoint. There were some good ideas in it, but most of it I hated.
Yeah, I enjoyed, you know, What a Blackest Night I read. I know we were picking up, like, some of the main titles. We picked up probably, like, half of the, like, just the side stories. And then Brightest Day happened. It kind of dropped the ball, and then Flashpoint happened, and we're just like, we're done. Crap. Let's go read Avengers vs. X-Men. Farewell.
We were reading the Green Lantern book. It was the main DC book we were reading, so we went up to, like, Blackest Night and Brightest Day. And I remember thinking, like, one of the last books, I think, in Brightest Day was, like, when they brought John Constantine into the regular Marvel Universe. And they were bringing back Swamp Thing in there, too.
John Constantine isn't Marvel.
I mean, DC. Yeah. Was bringing it in to DC, and then, like, they were bringing Swamp Thing, so they're basically bringing the Vertigo characters in, and then Flashpoint.
Because they, like, they destroyed all their side properties, and they're like, well, people really like these, so we should probably bring them back.
Flashpoint, like, I think my favorite thing that ever came out of Flashpoint was the thing with Plastic Man. Did you see that?
I did.
He was like an assassin, basically, and people would drink him, like, out of a cup, and he'd go inside him, and he'd basically bust out.
Oh,
and that's how he killed people.
That's fantastic and gross all at once.
And I remember, like, Mar bought it for the library, and, like, she bought the animated version of it, and there's that one part where Wonder Woman cuts somebody's head off, and she was
it's Wonder Woman, they probably deserved it.
She's like, well, this is not going in the kids section, because it was actually pretty violent, like, the animated version of it, so, but, Flashpoint, I did not like, I think, but then when they introduced the new 52, like, I didn't hate most of it. I know everybody hated almost all of it. The only thing I hated was Teen Titans, which I thought was just badly written. Flash was alright, like, it was just nothing exciting or anything. I think that was the main thing about most of the 52, is it seemed like not a big deal, most of it. They just want to take away everybody's history and everything, so...
Because I know there's a point when you've told as many stories as you can about these characters, and instead of just constantly rehashing it, you need new characters, you have to pass the torch, you have to move on. You can have throwbacks to the old characters, you can bring them in every now and then, but you have to move on or you're going to be beating a dead horse after a while, and that's... There's just been a lot of that.
I think you like... They don't do it like the continuing universe. I don't see why Marvel and DC just don't do like the Ultimates every couple years.
Well,
just
like,
relaunch every couple years, just relaunch a new version of it. Keep your regular thing going forever if you want to.
It's like we're, at least, you know, and I don't know where Marvel is in their own continuities right now, but with the, oh god, the Young Avengers, you had, you know, the Scarlet Witch's kids who were basically going to be the new Quicksilver and the new, you know, Sorcerer Supreme. You know, you've got Kamala Khan who is going to be, or is the new Miss, you know, Miss Marvel. You know, you've got people picking up now and you just need to, everybody got to step back a little. Let the new kids do their thing. And some of them are not so new, but just let them do their thing. Like hey, computer, come back.
That, Miss Marvel is probably one of my favorite Marvel books right now.
That's something I really, really want to read.
Yeah,
I'm super interested in the new Iron Man, too.
I haven't read it yet. First issue, I think, just came out. I haven't read it yet. It should be cool. Like, I'm glad they're trying different stuff with the books and stuff. There's just so much to keep up with. And I only buy trades now, so, like, I mean...
There's less generally to be mad about if you're reading in a trade than reading it monthly, because then you have the cliffhanger of, I hated how that ended, this is awful! Wait till you get to read the trade.
I would really,
then ramble.
Really hate to actually write a Marvel or DC book right now, because you really can't have red herring cliffhangers because people freak out about it. So you really like can't really do that as good as you used to be able to do that. I think that, like, I don't know, like, the thing I think people get wrong about the Rogues is they want them to be basic villains like everybody else, and they're not.
No, they're
a different mindset.
Can't do it.
It's like the Batman villains. They're different mindset than the Spider-Man villains.
They're cuckoo for fucking Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah. So, like, what do you think? Those three, like Batman, Flash, and Spider-Man, best sets of villains?
I don't know jack about the Spidey's
like,
villains.
You got quite a few, though. Like, I think they're probably. I don't really think of any other heroes where you think of, like, a bunch of villains. Like, Superman's probably got two, three named ones. Like, Brainiac. Like, Lex Luthor. Probably the only ones most people can name.
Send Zod back into, you know, some other dimension.
Yeah,
again.
Zod.
Get lost.
But, like.
Get wrecked.
I've never thought of it, really. There's no meaning it actually has. A,
like, actually, like, just
like a rogue. Yeah, like a rogue group of villains and stuff. Most of them only had, like, one or two. Like, Doctor Strange has probably got Nirvana. And
got
then Mordo. Maybe a bunch of, like, lesser known ones, but not many people do.
You don't really get teams unless they're, like, you know. What's the word I'm looking for? The Hall of Doom.
Oh, the Legion of Doom?
Legion of Doom, yeah. terrible flashbacks.
You was thinking Hall of Justice.
I was. That was just one, you know, the antithesis to the Hall of Justice, but no, that they didn't really count, so. No, I'm quite happily stuck on my robes.
That show was the first introduction that I had to the DC heroes.
I'll fall off the Rogue hype train when I'm dead.
I do love your Rogue, like, artwork and your Redbubble, though. I gotta order something from there,
there's so much fun to draw, because you can draw them being serious rogues, and then you can draw, like, something, you know, like, I've got some old pictures I want to redraw, like, there's a... them all at a Christmas party, and you know, you've got them all hanging up stuff, and there's Roscoe, you know, with Lisa, and Len's kind of glaring around the Christmas tree like, what are you doing over there? I don't like you with my sister. And Trickster's got like a whole bunch of cookies, and Captain Boomerang's got two or three stuffed in his face, and he's just like, what the hell are you doing, bro? And
what's like the background that you have on your I think it's your live journaling, where it's just got all the characters and stuff. I think you've got
Redbubble.
Is it Redbubble?
And the Patreon.
Is it Patreon?
It's basically the same thing.
Yeah, I like that. It's like
the Tumblr one is the badges I made for Metal Gear.
Those are cool. Though.
Those were the Diamond Dog Peril Pup badges.
Yeah.
Those are so much fun to make.
Do you have any projects you're working on right now?
The problem is, with the short attention span, I can do one major thing at a time, and that is either play video games, draw, or write. And since Francis got me back into role-playing on Tumblr, I'm just writing right now, and so I'm sitting there with an entire, like, half-finished PSD file of a Pokemon to surpass Metal Gear, and I'm like, I should finish that, but I'm gonna reply to this person first. A few hours later, I gotta go to bed, and I'm like, well, that was not an evening entirely wasted, but I didn't get to do the other thing I wanted, so... No, nothing I'm currently working on aside from furthering the adventures of Desmond Miles and Tumblr.
Well, we talked about earlier video games.
Mm-hmm.
What are you playing right now?
I am trying to finish up Fallout New Vegas. I am trying to get into the meat of Fallout 3. I cannot, for the life of me, get past the pupa boss fight of Metal Gear Peace Walker. And I need someone else to beat it for me, because I'm a noob and I can't... I can do sneaky, but I can't do boom, 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 so... I'm trying to beat Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, but I keep getting distracted by Fallout and the Metal Gear. I don't want to finish Metal Gear Solid 1 until Francis gets his ass back over, because we're playing together and it's a group activity, and when one of us gets frustrated and wants to cry, we just hand the controller over to the other person and says, this is your problem now, baby, I'm sorry.
Is Brotherhood the one that's like Gangs in New York style?
No, that's Syndicate. Brotherhood is the second in Renaissance Italy, because that had three games for some reason.
More like that one I was talking about, like the game one. Like, mm-hmm. She likes the aesthetics of it.
Oh, it's the music is great. It's super shiny. You get to bare knuckle box, you know, in underground fight clubs. It's great. You get your own little train to live on. Everyone has a great time.
What do you think about the trailer for the movie?
I've been screaming about it ever since I saw it. Initially, though, when we all found out that Michael Fassbender was going to be in it, we went, well, we know with the right amount of makeup, he can look fairly young. His hair is generally cut fairly close. Please, please, please tell us he's not going to be playing Desmond Miles. This man is whiter than white bread. Desmond is not. Please let this not be the case, and it turns out he is not Desmond Miles, thank God. However, the game is coming out on the anniversary of Desmond's death. And my little heart broke when I found that out. I'm like, Ubisoft, y'all are a bunch of dicks. It was so rude. We're just laughing at everyone who loved the character.
I thought it looks kind of interesting. I don't know enough about the games, though. I know a lot of people are mad about the future stuff in the game. I don't know if it's not in the game or not, because I haven't played on it yet.
Because initially it was, hey, we're going to put you, lay down on the table. We're going to, hook you up to this machine, and you're going to go through the memories of one of your ancestors to get this information so we can track down these artifacts and basically mind control the world for our new world order. And the further you get into the modern story through the games, it gets kind of sci-fi, and you find out that there was this other civilizations of beings that basically created humans, and it gets kind of trippy, but, people got really, ticked off around the end of Ezio's games, because they're like, we don't like Desmond, he's stupid, and they go, okay, well, here's Assassin's Creed 3, we're going to murder him at the end. And then we're going to laugh in your face for every subsequent game we mention him. But that, as far as I know, they just, people bitched a lot about him. But normally the Animus is something you lay down on or you sit in, and they just kind of plug you in and say, enjoy. And in this one, it's this big pick you up, hold you in the air rigging, and I'm like, well, it's not what I'm used to, but I'll take your word for it.
So that's a part of the game, though? Like
the Animus. That's what's going to allow the main character to basically relive the memories of his ancestors. And I'm assuming, since the new Animus is a giant pick you up and, fling you in the air thing, I'm assuming that's what they're going to take that and use that as a, oh, well, it's got you up in the air so you can actually move around like you're actually running and jumping and flipping and diving off things.
Yeah, because I never got that from seeing trailers or clips from the game. I always thought the game was basically like a secret society and these highly trained people.
It's all about, yes, it's all about that.
Yeah, but it has a sci-fi element to it.
Yeah, it doesn't pick up until a little bit later, but it's definitely in there. It's fun at the end of one because you find out that it's not one of your assassin buddies. Your character's never, met him before, but the subject who, they were running through the Animus program before you, he realized that, things were gonna go to shit, that you would be the next one taken, and he basically, when no one's looking, cuts himself open and paints the walls and floors and a whole bunch of glyphs so you can find your way through things later. And Clay Kazmarek died for Desmond's sins.
I remember, I always thought the trailers for Assassin's Creed looked awesome. Like,
oh, they do.
I don't know if you remember the old TV show that used to be on X-Play. It used to be about video games and stuff.
Oh, I don't have television.
Yeah, it was like on a channel that's not even around anymore and stuff like that. But they used to show trailers, tons of trailers before for games and stuff. And I always seen the Assassin's Creed trailers and I was like, that looks great.
Oh, it's lots of fun.
I remember seeing the one during, I think it's the American Revolution,
Native American
character.
That was Connor.
Yeah, I was like, that looks awesome. I always thought that would make a good movie or something like that. Because you could probably take each one of those and be a different movie. You didn't have to make the same movie, really.
Because there's even like the first one is Altair, he isn't at all, related to, Ezio's pre games. But then you have Connor's game, which comes, after that, but it starts out you play his dad, and then you move on to Connor later on, and then when you go to the fourth game you play Connor's grandfather, who at the very end of that you see Haytham, the one in the middle, so
What are you, how many games now?
Number-wise, I don't know.
Because they do those, like, what are they, mini-games or update games or something like that? They do,
because
like,
Liberation tied into 3, Freedom Cry was DLC for 4, Rogue kind of went alongside 3, but before it, because that was Tatum before he died, and his little friends. Unity was in the French Revolution, Syndicate was in the Industrial Revolution. There were the 3 games they packaged together in China, Russia, and India. All 3 different characters in different periods. Numbers. Do you count DLC or not? I don't know.
It's like, kind of...
Anuale should have had his own game!
Actually, list all the Pokemon games. It's like, oh my god, there's probably a billion of
them. The remakes?
Yeah, there's so many of those games.
They just remastered Ezio's games for some weird reason.
They're remastering a lot of games.
Why, though? You don't need it. All they did was, like, brighten the colors.
Yeah, I remember they did it to a bunch of the Halo games. They remastered them. I'm like, those games aren't that old. They're only, like, 10 years old or something like that. They're not that much different than what they make now or something. It makes no sense to me.
It was really weird watching some of the gameplay for the remastered Ezio, though. Because I really, the palettes were really, really muted in his games and in the first one, and I thought that was really appropriate, because you're looking back in time, things, you know, through that lens are gonna look a bit older, and I thought it was really appropriate. Now it's all bright and shiny, and I'm like, aesthetically, this really turns me off. I'm not gonna spend the extra money. I'm still trying to play the originals. Get out of my wallet.
Yeah, I know I read where they were talking about doing it in Fallout games. Like, going back and remastering those.
That would be nice, though.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that would be cool. So you don't just make the same game and just make it shinier or something like that.
Well, considering the huge leap they've made in graphics between New Vegas and 3 and 4, I would gladly buy remasters, because the character creator in 3 sucked.
Talking about redoing games, like, because I buy a lot of sports games, like, you know, they come out with a new one every freaking year. I'm like, I don't know why people buy them every year. It's like
new players, new updates.
I don't think it's really worth it unless there's big game changes, like in the way the game's played. Like I was talking about playing, like, the wrestling game. Like, they come out with a new one every year. And not only, yeah, there's new stuff into it, new characters added, but then you got the bonus. I don't know what they're called in games when you buy the packs that has different characters in them in, like, a different mode or whatever.
Different unlockables, different, yeah. You know, download packets.
And it's like, oh, yeah, I paid $40 for this game, but then it's $20 for this packet, $20 for this packet, $20 for this packet.
No, you can still do that with, like, the Assassin's Creed game, because it's just the, oh, you know, pay this extra money for these extra missions, and little completionist me is like, well, if I'm playing Ezio's games, I really, really would like to see a supporting cast, though, not him, but hey, they're all in this one, I've got to fork out another $10.
Like I told you, Marlowe's the one Assassin's Creed, and then I think they've come out with 2 other missions for that one or something like that, and she was talking about getting those, and I was like, oh my god.
I know there's the Jack the Ripper missions that you can, buy that take place after the game, but that's all I'm aware of for Syndicate.
Yeah, and then you got the games where you buy maps and stuff like that. Man, they talk about micro games getting you, but like these games get you as much as like console games can get you now with all that stuff too.
I'm still beyond pissed that they developed Dragon Age Inquisition. They made all this DLC, and then before, you know, they dropped the big game-changing ones, they went, well, we're only gonna, give you, you know, these last DLC for the newer consoles, and I'm sitting here on a 360 going, you won't give me the last 2? So my story is essentially incomplete still. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, you mean they made the first 2 on whatever console?
They made a couple of, you know, little expansions that you didn't need, you know, you don't need them to finish the game, but it's more story and broadens the universe, because there's a lot of stuff they don't tell you. It's like you have to read all the books and all the comics, you know, to go in and make an informed decision when you go in and ruin, you know, the ball at Halamshiram. I'm really glad I read the book first, because that's a political shit show. If you left Gaspard in power, I hate you.
It reminds me of that that series, what was that franchise, Hack?
Oh, Dot Hack?
Yeah, where you had the anime, and then you had the games, and then you had the books, and all that stuff was linked, and you really needed all of it to understand it. So,
like, yeah, and then they've got, like, resource books for Dragon Age now, and I'm like, you know what? Francis buys them, and I just kind of gently leech off of him, going, thank you for allowing me this, thank you for allowing me this.
And then you got
I still have his art book. I'm sorry, I know you're gonna be listening to this, but I'm sorry, I still have your stuff.
And then you got the Dragon Age web series. The live action series, you ever watched that?
I didn't, but I don't think you need it, because you Felicia Day's character is in a DLC portion of the second game, which you don't need to understand the whole of two. And then I think they just ran it off from there.
And then that character, I don't know if they made it, but they were talking about making an animated thing with that character or something.
All I know is that Cassandra has a prequel movie anime thing.
I love stuff tied in like that, but like, it can get to the point where you're like, okay, I'm done.
They're going to make you pay a lot of money. You find somewhere to quietly torrent that.
Yeah, I think I've only played a little bit of Dragon Age. I watched the show with Felicia today because I liked her. I liked the guild show that she was on. And I was like, dude, if people have to buy this or watch this to get into the games and stuff, I'd be kind of mad because, like, that's one more thing you have to do.
Yeah, you don't need the extraneous videos for it, but you do need to read the books. It is kind of a plus if, you know, you keep up with the giant world guides they come out with. There's two of them now. Two! And they give you information you can't find anywhere else.
Dragon Age has been around for a while, hasn't it?
I don't know when Origins came out, but that that character builder is only marginally less shitty than the Fallout 3 one. And Fallout 3 had a... Oh, God! Why?
Talk about games that are driving you nuts. We just got one of those, the Atari... classic console things that you can buy.
Oh yeah, where you buy it, it's got all the games inside.
Dude, those old games, I remember because I was around when those games came out. And those games were crap to play, like the most. Like, and then we were trying to play some the other day, and it was like, you can't beat some of these things. That's why they invented cheat codes. Like, some of those games were impossible to beat.
Not quite Atari, but the original Nintendo. Did you ever play the Jurassic Park game that played with that, or the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game?
I played
game?
The Ninja Turtle game.
That was hard.
Yeah, it was.
My little ass got stomped by that thing. The Jurassic Park game was worse.
I think they just re-released the Ninja Turtle game on Sega. That was on that. Yeah, but that was hard. Like,
yeah, I mean, little me was really uncoordinated, so that didn't go over very well.
Yeah, I was always looking for cheat codes. Calling the hotline thing. Like, you just have to call to get cheat codes over. Talking about getting all your money.
You didn't quite have, you know, the full internet up and running yet, so you couldn't just Google it.
Yeah. Trying to find cheat codes for stuff.
Gotta trust your buddy, you know, when he comes over, you know, acting all shady, going, hey, I got one you can use.
Better work.
I remember Contra had the famous one that made you immortal. I don't know if you ever played Contra, the game. It's basically a side-scrolling shooter game. But it was really good. You're basically like these Arnold Schwarzenegger-type characters battling aliens. You couldn't beat that game without using like the immortal code. There was no freaking way to beat that game without using that code. I remember like Double Dragon was like that video game, which talking about awful movies, that's a bad movie they made
little,
today.
Little hand-me-down me at one point got a Super Nintendo, and I was very excited. And then when the Star Wars movies, you know, got their re-releases, you know, not only had I seen the originals, you know, on the original VHS, but here they are again, and I'm like, oh, they got games that are coming out. I want them, and my parents got me all three of them. And guess what I was terrible at? Every single one of them. And I'm like, you know what? Now I feel really guilty because that was a huge waste of money.
You know what games like everybody else does pretty good at? That's like a Mario Brothers game. Like the original Mario Brothers game, I never could beat that. I know so many people could. I
couldn't beat it, but with the some of the tube cheats, like, you know, when you get on top of the level and you run all the way across and, oh hey, you know, I can jump three levels ahead now. That was the only reason I ever got so far.
I used to be able to get a couple of levels into it, but that's it. It's like Sonic the Hedgehog. Dude, I could not play that game. Mark plays that game and she's sitting there and it's going really freaking fast. She gets so high up on it. I'm like, how are you doing that? I can't play that game.
I never had that game, so whenever they'd have like a demo in the store, I'd go up and then I'd probably basically eat shit. I was terrible at it. I enjoyed Donkey Kong a lot. The SNES version, anyway.
Donkey Kong was a fun game.
When they first decided that they were going to do vague 3D.
I just love how Donkey Kong was supposed to be a Popeye game. Do you know that? Like, it was supposed to be a Popeye game.
Popeye game?
Yeah, Donkey Kong was originally supposed to be Popeye. Like, I guess they were making it before they had rights to make it.
Uh-huh.
And, like, Popeye was basically going to be Mike Mario is the game. And then Bluto was supposed to be, like, the monkey throwing
really?
The thing down.
I'm going to have to Google this.
And then you're supposed to rescue Olive Oil, who's supposed to be the person.
Yeah,
there.
Makes sense.
But, yeah, I remember that. That game was pretty hard. But games now are hard in totally different ways. Like, they're... I don't know, like, some of the shooter games, like the military games, like, I can't play those good. Like, not very good at moving any inch and then shooting somebody, and then, like, I've never gotten into them that much.
What little Assassin's Creed experience I have prepared me a little bit for Metal Gear. I'm like, I'm glad that some of the later games actually let you get on the ground and crawl, and I'm like, look, I'm sneaking, Mom, look at me go.
Does Metal Gear, because I've never played it, but from looking at it, does it have kind of like sci-fi elements, or is it just high technology?
High technology,
yeah.
There is a slight supernatural aspect, but not like aliens. Like, you know, there's an amusing comparison in the characters. On one side, you have Kazuhira Miller, who, you know, winds up, you know, training Snake at one point. They're like, you know, here's this... You know, this well-written character who, you know, has this, you know, decent, you know, nice expansive background now, you know, after all these games have come out, that, you know, show what it's like, you know, for someone, you know, of a mixed-race heritage and, you know, a post-World War II setting. And then you have, you know, Revolver Mary Sue Ocelot, whose, you know, mother was the best soldier ever, you know, who gave birth to him on, you know, the beaches of Normandy, and his dad who can control dead people and... I love them both. But also a lot of
I never got into Metal Gear, but I know some people that are so into those games that like when the new ones were coming out or something like that, they were just like it's end all and be all to get the new one.
It bounces between super serious and utterly ridiculous, so
yeah. And there was a gap between some of those games, wasn't it?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Before they made the new one.
One was still top down. I don't know two. I think it was kind of top down? Kind of. When you hit three, you're right there, you know. Finally, at eye level with Big Boss. And then 4, you hit fancy graphics! And then everything after that's just beautiful.
Some of the stuff I've seen online, is it people doing their own artwork, or is there like I keep seeing like scenes of the characters from those games, like cheering stuff and stuff like that. Is that within the game, or are people just doing artwork?
What do you mean cheering?
Well,
stuff?
Like you have the characters sitting together, and it looks like they're watching something on TV or something like that. Like I don't know. Like I've seen.
I don't
stuff.
Know what you've seen.
I don't know if they've like people are making like mods of it, or they're doing their own.
Oh no, they're probably doing mods. They. Yeah, they get a hold of the models. They go into a couple different. Programs. I know Gmod was like one of the big original ones because that came on Steam, I think, and like the Team Fortress 2 group grabbed a hold of that and went running, and they've got a... I don't know what the newer one is. Or they just go into their own, you know, programs and rigging, just throw things in and... seen some really interesting stuff thanks to that.
Yeah, I keep seeing stuff like
that. You still my dirty shipper heart.
Yeah, they'll have stuff like that, but they'll also have, like, just them being, like cooking in the kitchen together. Or
no, that's definitely fan-made.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm thinking, like, is that something in the game? Because it looks like something from the game or something
well,
like
unless
that.
Well, unless it's four, and then Sunny is probably the one doing the cooking, and she's making eggs, and Snake and, you know, Otacon don't really want to eat it because it's either burnt or runny, and she cooks.
It just seems kind of like a different kind of, like, unusual, like, people have taken this almost like military game, and they run with it.
No, no, anything the light touches, people are going to make it domestic, and when they're done making domestic, they're going to make it really gay. And that's why I love the internet so much, because it caters to my every whim.
And then you went and had them go against Pokemon. And
because it was the next best thing, because I could make them domestic gay and have Pokemon. So, everyone wins. Except for the straight male fan base. Let me share with you something I found online. Revolver Ocelot has had the biggest, gayest, not the biggest bisexual crush, the biggest, fullest, gayish crush on Big Boss, basically since they met back in the, what was it, the 60s? It's this love affair that goes through decades. He just chases after this man, will do anything for this man, and at the end of 4, Snake and Ocelot fight. Snake is Big Boss's, you know, son, quote-unquote. And in the middle of the fight, Ocelot gets really close to him and tries to lay one on him. And when I say straight male fan base, that's with each word capitalized and with a TM on the end, because it's not, you know, people who go, oh, well, that's okay, that's a thing. It's not those ones. It's the one that get really ornery because their fragile masculinities are threatened. And they're like, why did Ocelot do that? And there's just this threads and threads online of them trying to logic the gay away. One of the most ridiculous things is that it's a Russian taunt. Just accept it. It's literally continuity word of God. Ocelot's gay. Get over it.
Yeah.
Accept your gay badass and love him.
I've seen some, like, people, like, whenever anybody makes mashups or something like that, or anything, like, they get so angry about it, and it's like,
why are people so angry?
It's like somebody's mashing up these two characters together. It's fun. I can't ignore it and stuff. Like, but yeah, I don't know. Like, people like it with the sports games. Like any time you take a sports game, and you add, like the latest soccer game has the female sports team on it, like the national teams.
Yeah.
Like all the female teams, and like people went nuts about that.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't, like, for example, the U.S.'s female team, like, completely outscore the male team? Didn't they, like, win more of the matches? And
well,
they're still getting way underpaid.
Oh yeah, they get way underpaid. Like, they're better than male teams. They've won more championships and everything, but they still get paid nothing. And male teams just lose all the time. But they put them in the newest soccer game, the newest FIFA game.
That's fantastic.
And people go fed on it, and it's like they're barely on the game. Like, you could just...
Capital S, straight male fan base.
And then, they were talking about, I know at one time, making it where you could put the female characters on with the male teams if you wanted to, and, like, I guess people do such a bit about it, they decide not to do it,
no,
and it's like...
No, why do people have to be like that?
And I was like, that would have been awesome, I would have put the characters on, like, have them all together.
It's the same sport. Oh my god, co-ed, I'm so afraid.
But you got that even with, like, the Pokemon Go game, how it first started out, and they just had, like, the male avatar, and then I think right after it started, they added the female, where you could be female or male avatars if you wanted to, and people got mad. They're like, well, Ash is not.
Well, this isn't about Ash.
I know, and it's not. The male character is not Ash. Well, I don't even know if it's even a character. I think it's just
It's you. It's you. It's an avatar of you.
But, like, people got so mad about that.
Why are people so shitty?
I don't know. But I love the fact, like, I've told you before, like, I look at some of the mashups and stuff online. I don't understand. But it's cool. You don't have to. It's like cosplay.
Yeah.
I know cosplayers, and I was talking one in an interview last month that I'm doing for a podcast. And I was saying, like, I look at some of the cosplay. I don't know what it's from. But I know it's cool. I don't have to know what it's from to think it's cool and see somebody that created this stuff and think it's cool. And in Smash Up, I don't know anything about Metal Gear, but I can see the stuff you've done or you've posted.
I know
other
what I've done is utterly ridiculous,
and
but I'm in it for
and
fun.
And I'm like, it's funny, it's crap, but you don't have to know what it is.
Just recognize that they're, you know, trying to dispose of a body inside of a weeping bell, and that, or a victory bell, rather, and that poor thing looks horrified.
I love your strip. Like, I think it's really good, and I don't know a huge amount about Pokemon or
you
Metal Gear. And it's just funny.
You really don't.
But I'm
it's Metal Gear for dummies.
Yeah, I've always been really interested in people, like, mashing up stuff, creating stuff like that. Like, it's like the fanfiction thing. I've told people I've read fanfiction, it's as good as any book.
Yeah.
People just aren't, like, trying to take that and write another book for it.
It's like sometimes with, you know, strictly original fiction, I'm like, I'm not invested in these characters right now, and it's gonna take me a lot longer too, when instead I could go read this fanfic that is written just as well with something that I'm already invested in and I love, so I'm gonna go and I'm gonna read the fanfic. So, see y'all later.
Well, it's like reading the tie-in books and stuff like that. Like, I'm a huge Doctor Who fan. Mm-hmm. I read a Doctor Who book, it might not be a great book, but I'm automatically gonna like it to a certain point because it's got those characters in it that I like. So, or I could read another sci-fi book and it'd be supposedly really good, but I hate the characters automatically, so I'm not going to enjoy it. So, yeah, I've always loved fanfiction. Like, I used to write fanfiction back nowadays and stuff.
In the dark ages. But I decided I wanted to make a little storybook in the vein of if you give a mouse a cookie, and it was if you give a shade a top hat. And it plays, you know, this old-timey, you know, like, really happy music in the background as you thump through everything, and I found it on there, and it was just finding the right one.
Marta loves any variation of Give a Mouse a Cookie, because she's a children's librarian.
I am going to have to show her.
Yeah. Like, she loves the Robot Chicken. Do you see the Robot Chicken?
I have not seen the Robot
Chicken. It's like a... I think it starts out as Give a Mouse a Cookie, but then the mouse becomes like a serial killer or something
that
like
sounds
that.
Like
it's like really bad, but it's really funny.
But no, like the entire thing is done like really, really simply. Like it's the background looks like old parchment paper. It's terribly put together, but I just did it as an exercise to go, do I still know how to work Flash? Let's find out. But just all the doodles are meant to look like, you know, ink on paper. It didn't really turn out that way, but close enough. Just really, really shitty doodles, but it turned out really good.
That'd be interesting. So yeah, I'd like to see that.
I can find that for you when we're done with this.
Well, I'm probably going to stop this because, like, just for
we're
this one.
We're almost at an hour and a half. Good God.